Rabbi Shalom Rosner gives his Daf Yomi Shir daily at Congregation Beis Ephraim Yitzchak in Woodmere, New York. All David Tzviv and Dov Mordechai Daf Yomi program recordings and other shirim by Rabbi Rosner are conveniently available at cbey.org. To sponsor a week of Daf Yomi or for more information on Rabbi Rosner, Beis Ephraim Yitzchak, or sponsorship opportunities, please visit us at cbey.org.
Okay. Okay, today's Daf Samach Gimel. We started to discuss yesterday on Samach Beis and Mabeis. We brought up the sugya of Mora Halacha Bifnei Rabo. That's what today's blot is going to be about. And then tomorrow, B'l Hashem, we'll get back to Erevin. But the Gemara, if you remember, the Mishnah had a machlokas to the Tarkam and Rabbos Ben Yaakov about how many Jews have to live at a chatzar in order for the Diras Akum to be significant in terms of assering on the Jew. So that was a machlokas, a detailed machlokas, which B'ezrat Hashem will get back to tomorrow. But because one of the shittas was Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, so the Gemara quoted there, Mishnah Rav Elazar ben Yaakov Kav Vinaki. His Mishnah is always perfect, is always Kav, is measured, Vinaki, and clean, meaning we always pass in that way. So the question was, if somebody asks a Talmud, if you're more halacha b'fnei rabo, is it, what about a davar pashut, like halacha b'Elazar ben Yaakov? If it's such an obvious question, is that considered mora halacha b'fnei rabo? So the Gemara had said, well, what about b'yetza b'kutcha? The Gemara had said, even an egg in milk, which is such a pashut idea, and still Rav Chisda wouldn't paskin. So you see, even a davar pashut wouldn't be paskin. So he had mentioned the machlokas between Rashi and Tosos, Rashi and the Aruch there. Rashi had said, this is the pasha question, means an egg in milk. And Tosas didn't like that, because Tosas said, everybody knows that. So that can't be exact what the question is, because that's not even called a psak. So that's why Tosas quoted the Aruch and said a different pshat. No, it's talking about a case where you shecht a chicken and find eggs in it, so those are able to be eaten in milk. That was the real question. But he didn't like Rashi. So we'll go to Bezer later today. We're going to have to try to answer up for Rashi. That at the end of the shiur yesterday, we spoke about the last line of Tosfos Afilu, where he brings up that maybe Basar B'chalav is different than Shar Machalos Asuros. Because it's created, here it's a Kula, but in other cases it's a Chumra. But that is Tosfos's issue. Okay, the last thing, let's go back to Amarle Rabbi Yaakov, 5 lines up from the bottom. You've got a busy day today. Amalei Rabbi Yaakov Bar Abba Labaya, Kegon Megillas Tainis, Dixiva Umancha, Ma'ola Uruye Ba'asri De Rabbe. We mentioned this yesterday, but I will say it again. What about Megillas Tainis? Megillas Tainis was a scroll in the time of the Mishnah, which had listed on it all the days that you weren't allowed to fast, because it was holidays that happened to Klal Yisrael. It was days that special things happened to Klal Yisrael, and therefore there were dinim d'rabbanan that you weren't allowed to fast on those days. So what about if somebody asks a question about Megillas Tainis that's written and sitting there? So is that considered a psak? Ma'ala ruya b'makam rab, asri de rabbe, so amalei, haki amar av Yosef, he'll be up via the b'chuscha, bo b'nei me'er v'chizda, chashani d'refuna, v'lo ori, again, they asked Rav Chisda all this, even an egg and milk, and they wouldn't answer. So the simple reading of the Gemara is that so too here, even though it's a pashut thing, it's pashut halacha, so then you wouldn't be able to answer. What is it mean? What was they asking about Megillas Tainis? So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, the second to last Rashi, these are days that are usher to fast, and this was the only thing written in those days. Fine, so it sounds like from Rashi that you might have interpreted the Gemara, that they wanted to know if they could fast on these days. Says Tosfos, we're going to have on the next Amud today, on Samach Gimel, but Aleph, that there's an exception to the rule of Mora Halacha Bifnei Rabo. If you're being Mafrish Me'isura, if somebody's doing an Aveira, and your Rebbe's sitting there, and the Rebbe's not telling the person to stop doing it, you're allowed to scream out and tell him to stop doing it. That's called the Hafrisha Me'isura. So ask Tosfos on Rashi, if somebody's fasting, and you're letting them fast on a day when they're not allowed to fast, that's not about Mor Halacha B'Fei Rabo. That's Lafrisha Me'isuras. Of course that's Mutter. That can't be what the case is about Megillas Tainis. They have to know whether they could keep fasting. That's what Tosfos says. No, it's the opposite. Tosfos says in Little Tosfos Kagon, and no, it's B'Yom HaMutarim. They're asking about days that are Mutter. You know, they're eating, and they're asking, could we keep eating because we don't want to fast? So then that's a psak. Rabbi Akiva Eiger on the Tosfos says, what are you jumping on Rashi for? Rashi also means that. Rashi means you're going there to find out exactly whether you can fast or not beforehand. It's not Pshas Maisa yet. That's all Rashi means. So again, that's Rabbi Akiva Eiger makes that Ha'ara. Tosfos shouldn't be jumping on Rashi. Okay, last line. Rav Chisda Ori B'Kfari De B'Shani De Rav Huna. Rav Chisda Paskins. Oh, actually, just one hour before that. So from this Gemara, it said that even in the, all the years of Rav Huna, Rav Chisda wouldn't Paskin. Tosis, the last Tosis on the bottom, is a bit bothered by this, because if you look at the Gemara Sanhedrin, we did it a couple of years ago in the Tuesday night shiur, the Gemara seems to say that there's a limit to where this Mora Halacha Bifnei Rabba Halacha applies. Shalos Parsos, certain amount of area, and if you're outside Shalos Parsos, it's mutter. Right, you're allowed to Paskin, but what's Mora Halacha? Bifnei Rabbo, it's Bifnei Rabbo, in a certain proximity to the Rav, but not very far out. So Tosas and the Rambam differ as to how to put the two Gemaras together. Tosas here makes a chiluk, which we're going to have on the next Amud also, the difference between a regular student, a Talmud, and what's called a Talmud Chaver, which we're going to have different pshatim what that is, but let's assume it's somebody who's more of a colleague than a Talmud. That's why Tosas says, where is a Talmud Chaver? So that's where once you're outside Shalosh Parsos, that's the Gemara Sanhedrin. That's what's mutter outside Shalosh Parsos. But if you're a real Talmud, you can't even really give a psak, if it's called a psak, even further out than Shalosh Parsos. The Rambam doesn't make that chiluk. The Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah has a chiluk, which is explained by the Nosek Halim, as to be answering Tosas' question also. The Rambam says there's a difference between setting up a yeshiva and just giving a psak. If you're setting up a yeshiva, it's a davar kavua, l'kvoa atzmo lahora, v'leishiva lahoros l'chol shoel. You set up your yeshiva, I'm going to be the posek hador, that's a problem. Masha'eki, when it comes to just davar nikra, somebody happened to ask you a shayla, so that's the difference. If it's not pefanav anymore, that would be okay, but setting up a yeshiva might be usher even outside of that area. Okay. Oh, so is Rabbo Rabbi Muvuk? So the Gemara here doesn't limit it to Rabbi Muvuk, but it might be applying to Rabbi Muvuk. It doesn't say beferish that it is, but a lot of these halachos poskim say do apply only to our Rabbi Muvuk. Okay, continues the Gemara last line. Ma Rav Chisda Ori Bekfari to Bishari de Rav Huna. Rav Chisda, even though you said that Rav Chisda didn't paskin, but he did paskin in the villages in the years of Rav Huna. What's Kfari? So Rashi says Kfari is really Shemakam, it's the name of a place, and he was allowed to paskin there because it was in the same country as Rav Huna, but in a different place. It was in, his place was in Pumpadisa, and Shtei and Bavava, they were both in Bavava, but they were different areas, so that's why he was able to paskin in a different area. Relates to the chilukim that we just made. Rav Huna na Ori Bachars in the Argas. Rav Huna paskin in this other place, Bishani Rav Chisda. Ravina Sar Sakina Bavavel. Ravina checked the knife in Bavel. The Gemara in Chulin Daf Yud said there's a takana to check, there's a special din d'rabbanan to check your knife before you do shechita. That makes sense. But the takana d'rabbanan was that you should give it, it's kavadik to give it to the posek. Let the posek check it. No, to have a stam person check it. You know, it's part of kavad, laharos kavad l'chacham, says the Gemara. To give kavad to the chacham, you have to give it to the Rebbe. So says the Gemara, Ravina checked his own knife in Bavel, even though his Rebbe was in the area, but still, because he wasn't in the direct area, as the examples that we just gave, he was able to check it himself. So Amalei Ravashi, by time of and Marhachi, Ravashi, who was Ravina's Rebbe, whenever they would say, why'd you do that? How could you check it yourself? I was a little bit around. So Amalei, no, Bar Rav Hamnuna Ori Bachar Shad Argas, Bishani Rav Chisda. But I have a Masara there of Hamnuna in the days of Rav Chisda gave a Psak. And why? Because they weren't in the exact same area. So to here, you aren't exactly here, Rebbe. I know I've covered for you, but you aren't exactly here. So Amalei, Lab Ori Yitmar. No, I have a Masara that he didn't Paskin in Chayas Shad Argas. So Amalei, Itmar Ori, Itmar Lo Ori. No, I have a Masara that he was Ori. He did Paskin. Why? Well, how do you put the two Masaras together? So as follows: Bishani Drev Huna Rabbe Hu Delo Ori, Va'ori Bishani Drev Chisda. The Talmud Chaver Dileu, Va'anon Nami Talmud Chaver Demar Ana. You're right. Don't make a chiluk between different areas, but it depends when his real Rebbe was alive. So then he didn't paskin even in a more distant area. But in the lifetime of Rav Chisda, who was more of a Talmud Chaver to him, so then he would paskin. And I'm like a Talmud Chaver to you. What's a Talmud Chaver? And he was saying this as an honesty, not as a Balgaiva. He was saying, what's a Talmud Chaver? So Rashi here says, Talmud Chaver, fifth skinny line, Chacham Kemoso, El Shalaman Mimenu Dover Echad O Yoser. So it sounds kind of like he's a colleague, he's a Chacham like him, but, you know, like I said, the Pirkei Avos. Anybody who teaches you something, you gotta call him Rebbe. So it's Talmud Chaver, I mean, he's a colleague, but he's somewhat of a little Rebbe to him, shtickle Rebbe to him. But really, he's similar, and therefore, the regular halachos of Mor Halacha B'Fnei Rabbo don't apply. That's what Rashi says. The Rambam has a different definition. The Rambam says, in Hilchos Talmud Torah, a Talmud is only somebody who could look at his Rebbe, who he learns Rov Chachma So Mimenu. If you learn Rov Chachma from one Rebbe, that's a Rebbe. And that's where these halachas apply to. But if it's, if you have one Rebbe for this and a Rebbe for that, you have so many different Rebbeim, you learn in all the yeshivas, you don't have one specific Rebbe, so then that's not a, that's not a Talmud Rebbe, that's a Talmud Chaver relationship. And so the Shem the Shlach Kadosh, another interesting shot, where the Shlach says, no, it's about two people who grew up together, they went to school together, it's a good buddies, and then eventually, you know, one of them went up in, you know, he went into Chinuch, and he stayed learning for another 10 years, and now he's a Talmud Chacham, and now he's one of the poskim, but you know, you see him, you're like, oh, you know, you call him Rabbi so-and-so, I know him as, no, that's a Talmud Chaver, you know, somebody who's a Chaver, but he's a, now he learns everything from you, now he's a Talmud. So that's the third shot of what Talmud Chaver is. Either way, the Gemara lays down the law that Talmud Chaver will have different rules than a regular Talmud.
So according to Rashi, that said that someone was a contemporary.
Right.
So then the whole issue about seeing the knife is irrelevant.
According to Rashi, about a contemporary, the issue wasn't, well, it was just about anything. Anything would have been okay.
Right.
Anything would have been okay. Right. Well, it relates to the issue that we're going to talk about now. So the Gemara in Chulin seems to say that there is no psak here that's going on with the knife. You know, all it is that you have to check the knife, and this kavadik, I was kavad the chacham, you give it to the Talmud Chacham of the generation. The Meiri here, though, does not say that. The Meiri's lashon here, ubedika sakin l'tabach, harehu bichlal hora'a, ve'in roi l'chaver l'batka l'tabach b'makam rabo. Right, it's not right for a regular shochet to check it. So again, what's the machlokas here between the pashtus of the Gemara and Rov Rishon? The Rush here says b'feirish, it's not a hora'a. So if you look at the two Rishon, the Rosh and the Meiri, what are they arguing about? So either they're arguing about what's a hara'ah, maybe we had a shir about this also a couple years ago, how do you define a psak? What's the definition of a psak? So here is a dig a psak and a psak, they might be arguing about that, or, I saw one of the acronym suggests that maybe everybody agrees that it's hard to get out of the Gemara in Chulin. The word Chulin says is that, oh, the only reason you give the knife to the Chacham is laharos kavod l'chacham. So another way to look at it is that maybe the pshat of the Meiri is that in Achinami, everybody agrees the motivation of the tzakana, the reason that they made this rule to go to the chacham was laharos kavod. But once they did it, what was the nature of the tzakana? They gave it the status of a hora. Again, a lot of times you're machalik between the motivation of a tzakana and the mahus of the tzakana. Once you have the tzakana, what is its nature? So here too, some explain the Meiri that of course the tam of the tzakana was the haros kavod l'chacham, not a real psak. But once the chacham does it, then it achieves the status of a hora. Okay, so that's about Talmud Chaver and about the bedikas sakin. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rava, serve me rabbanon chazil l'nafshei. Says Rava, a Talmud Chacham, a serve me rabbanon, can look at his own knife himself when he can look at the knife himself when he's shechting his own animal for himself. When he's shechting the animal for himself, Rashi says, "Who at shochet atzmo behema shalo?" Then you're allowed to shech it yourself. It's unclear exactly. Does it have to be your knife besides your animal that you're shechting? Rashi seems to say so. Rashi says, "Who atzmo behema shalo?" Right, he's shechting his own animal, but he doesn't mention whether it has to be his own knife. But that's Rashi. Ravina iklil mechuza. Ravina wants to visit in mechuza. I see. Pizchene sakina. The place where he was staying, the innkeeper brought out a knife to him. V'kamach vilei and showed it to him in order for him to check it. Amar le zil amti l'Rava. Ravina says, "What are you bringing it to me for? Rava's the posek here. You have to bring it to Rava." So Amar le lo sarva la ma'ala hadam. Rava tzur mei barachad l'nafshi. What do you mean? Rava himself said that the Talmud Chacham can check it himself if he's doing a shechita for himself, for his own animal, so then he can check it himself. So I'm really, no, I know Mizvah Zvina. So says Ravina, that's fine, I agree to that. But here you're shechting, and I'm going to buy some meat from you. So that's not called Chazi L'Nafshei, that's not called my own, I'm going to buy it from you. So therefore it's yours. So that's why the regular halachos apply that you have to be Mare Sakin L'Chacham. Period. Simon, the Shlach HaKadosh says you always have to say these simanim. Simon, Zila, Lahanya, Machla, Vika, V'Yakov. Rav Lezer, Bei Agronya, Rav Abba, Bar Tachlifa, Iklu, Lebei, Rav Acha, Brei, Rav Ika, Ba'asri, Rav Acha, Bar Yaakov. So all these Chachamim got together in the place of Rav Acha, Bar Yaakov. Voi, Rav Acha, Brei, Rav Ika, Lemevid, Lehu, Igla, Tilta. So they wanted to make a Igla, Tilta. What's an Igla, Tilta? We had this all the way at the beginning of Maseches Shabbos. Igla, Tilta, a third calf. So Rashi here quotes both Pshatim that he quotes there also. Rashi quotes Igla Tilta, either Gadal Shlish, a third grown, and it's a third grown to its total weight. So then, V'asu Omid B'Ikr Tam B'Sara, then it's the most delicious. So they wanted to make an Igla Tilta, that the most delicious there. Or number two, Rashi says, Lushan Achrina, Shlishi La Beten, the third one born to its mother. That's also a very delicious one. But Rashi asks on that, Vakashali, because he says, he quotes a Gemara in Sanhedrin, that Rav China and Rav Oshia have aski b'sefer Yetzira. Rav China and Rav Oshia always were osek in Sefer Yetzira, meaning in the midst of creating things. V'chomali Shamsa Ibrilu Iglatilta. And every Friday, they created an Iglatilta for Shabbos. So how can you create an Iglatilta for Shabbos if it means it's the third to the mother? So that's why Rashi likes the first shot, that Iglatilta means it's third ripened, as a third mature. Again, you can answer Rashi. Rashi just means that it's as delicious as Shlishi Labetan. Doesn't mean that that you could answer that guy, even though it sounds like literal, but it can mean that they made it in Sefer Yetzira as delicious as Shlishi Labetan. Either way,
maybe Rashi's right,
why should that taste better? Again, that's the Metzius. Metzius tastes better. That's not
the third one tastes better. Than
the third one, that's what it sounds like, according to that pshat, Shlishi Labetan. Okay, continues the Gemara. So they wanted to make an Iglatilta. So I see Sakin of a Kamachviluhu. They brought a Sakin, they were going to look at it. Amalhu Rav Acha Bar Tachlifa Lechesh Leila Saba. Aren't we worried about Saba? Saba is the elder Rav of the city. That was Rav Acha Bar Ravika. Why don't we bring it to him? So Amalhu Rav Elazar Mehagron Yahacham Arava Sumira Bar Chazil Nafshi. What do you mean? It says the Tavan Chacham can see it himself. We're shechting for ourselves. So Chazi V'Iyanish Rav Elazar Mehagron. So he looked at it himself, but he was still punished for it. Why was he punished? What do you mean the halacha is like it's mutter? No. Shiny hasam da aschilu bichvodo. No. Once the Rav's, the Mara da Asra's name was brought up, even Me'ikar Hadin, if you could do it, still not covetic to hear the name of the Rav, and then still say, no, it's okay, I can do it. It's okay. No, that's already different. If this is the halacha, and it's not brought up, the posek, fine. But if the posek ha'ir is involved, then already should defer. Then already should give it to the posek adar in order to look at the knife, because aschilu bechvodo. V'bay seima, another answer, shiny, Rechav Yaakov de muflik. No, another answer, because Rechav Yaakov was different because he was very old. He was much older in a different generation than these other Rabbanan, and therefore really they should have given it to him. Period. End of the B'dika Sakin discussion. Omar Rava. Ula afrushe me isura, a fila bafan of shaper dummy, as we mentioned earlier, that if it's a case of lahafrush me isura, somebody is doing an aveira, and you want to stop them from doing it, then the whole halacha, zamar halacha bifne rabo, do not apply. A story to illustrate it. Ravina, Yosef Kami Dravashi. Ravina was thinking about Ravashi. Remember, we had before. Ravina was Ravashi's Talmud. Chazialu Gavra de Kaasale Lechamre. But since the Bishabsa, he saw somebody who was going to tie his donkey to a tree on Shabbos. Right, we know that there's an Issa Drabanan of Hishtamshus Be'ilon. So you're not allowed to tie your donkey to a tree on Shabbos. So Rabbi Be'ikal of the Ashkech Be'i started screaming at him, and he didn't listen. Amale Levi, I got her B'shamta. He should be excommunicated, that man. Who's not listening to me? And then all of a sudden, his Rebbe's sitting there also. So I'm like, Ki'ai Gavra Mimis Chazak Afgirusa. Was that good, what I just did? Was that chutzpahdik, or was that okay? I'm going to point out, why didn't he ask beforehand? You know, he asked, he did it, and then he asked. But maybe because the Gemara says earlier he was a Talmud Chaver. But either way, that's the story. Story is that he did it. Then he says, was that a Hefker? Was that Hefkerus? Amalei, no. The Rebbe answered, no. In Chachma vein tfun vein etzel v'neged Hashem. No, he darshed him from that pasuk in Mishlei. Kol makam sheish v'chil Hashem ein cholkin kavol rav. It's fine, because you're not cholkin kavol rav when there's chil Hashem. And somebody doing an aveira before Hesia is considered a chil Hashem. And that's why you acted in a proper fashion. So that was the answer of the Rebbe. Next halacha, Amar Rava, b'fanav aser v'chayev misa, shalo b'fanav aser v'ein chayev misa. Says Rava, in front of the Rebbe is aser d'paskin, and you're chayev misa for that. Shalo b'fanav is also aser, but it's not as bad, you're not chayev misa. Asks the Gemara, v'shalo b'fanav lo, if you're not b'fanav, you're not chayev misa? V'hatanya, Rebbe Lazar Omer, lo mesu b'nei Aharon ad shahoru halacha b'fnei Moshe Rabban. The sons of Aharon, Nadav and Avihu, didn't die until they were more halacha b'fnei Rabbo. We'll talk about that lashon in a minute. Let's just finish the question first. My drosh, why, what they darshan? By bringing an Eish Zara, as the Torah describes in Parsha Shemini. V'nasnu b'nei Aharon akoin Eish al Mizbeach. The b'nei Aharon put a fire on the Mizbeach. Amru, they said, that was their drasha. Even though a fire comes down from heaven, still it's a mitzvah to bring our own fire. And therefore they brought their own fire, and we know the consequences. V'talmid, so is the question from there yet? So Moshe, it says Bafanav. It says Bifnei Moshe Rabba. So the pashas of the Gemara is that we didn't get to the question yet. This is just all one big raisa. But Talmud, Echad Ha'ilal Rebbe Eliezer, Shahor Lachal Bafanav. There was a Talmud that was in front of Rebbe Eliezer. There was more halacha in front of him. Om Rebbe Eliezer, Lei Mashalom Ishto. Rebbe Eliezer came home to his wife. Tamiyani Yemyoti Deshnaso. V'lo Hoti Shnaso. I don't know if that Talmud's going to make it through the year. And he did not make it through the year. The one that passed in front of him. Amarlo Navi Ata. His wife said, "Wow, are you a Navi?" Amarlo Navi Anochi Lo Ben Navi Anochi. No, I'm not a Navi. Elakach Kubalni. I have a Misora. Kol Amor Halacha Bifnei Rabbo Chai Misa. Right. So anybody who passes in front of their Rebbe, the Chai Misa. The Amar Rabbi Rachana Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Also Talmud Yehuda Ben Gurya Shemo. That Talmud was Yehuda Ben Gurya. V'haya Rachav Yerushalosh Prashos. And he was really far away from his Rebbe. Question mark. The Pasha of the Gemara is that's the question. So they have an example here of a Shalom Bafanav case, and he was still Chayav Misa. Answers the Gemara, Bafanav Havi. No, it says Bafanav. It says in the Brisa that he was Bafanav. So Gemara says, I have a Harochim and Shalom Parsos Kamar. It says he was far away for three Parsos. So what do you mean he was close? So Lotamech asks the Gemara, no, one second. Shmo Vishem Aviv Lama. What do we care about what the name of this Talmud was? We say, oh, the name of the Talmud, what do we have that detail for? Ela shelo tomar mashal haya. It must be that certain details are given not because they were true in this specific case, but because we shouldn't believe that this was a mashal. We shouldn't believe that this is an allegory. We should believe that this is mamish a real story, and we should take the messages of this story to heart. So says the Gemara, so too when it says Bifnei Rabbo, it doesn't really mean Bifnei Rabbo. It means it was in the Azor, in the area, but it really was Shalom Bafanav. And because I'm sorry, let me take that back. It was really Bafanav, and Shalom Bafanav just means that in general he lived in that area, Shalom Bafanav. But really the Pesach was Bafanav, and therefore this fits into the rule that Bafanav is Chayiv Misa. Period. A number of important ha'aris, yeah, on the Gemara. So for number one, why did he bring down the whole story of Nadav and Aviyu? So the simple reason could be it's one big raisa. But it doesn't really work, because in the middle it says, it doesn't say Vatanya, right? It could be one big brisa. That's punch-up shot. The Ben Yehoyada says maybe not. Ben Yehoyada says maybe I have another way to get out of it. Like, why does it bring that down? Because if you look at Rava, what did Rava say? Befanav Aser V'chayev Misa. Shalom Befanav Aser V'eino Chayev Misa. Says the Ben Yehoyada, there are two ways, Rava is not 100% clear. There were two ways to understand Rava, and regarding each way of understanding him, is a question in the Gemara. Says the Ben Yoyada, Divrei Rava Sovlim Shnei Pirushim. Chada, one can mean Bafanav means mamish, literally in front of him, and Shalom Bafanav means not in front of him. That's one way to understand Bafanav, Shalom Bafanav. The other way can mean Bafanav means close by. Not mamish in front of him, but in the same building, in the same area. And Shalom Bafanav means very far away. So you're not exactly sure what Rava means. So the Gemara asks one question according to each interpretation. According to the interpretation of Bafanav means Valdepirish Maksham in Banav Shalara, Shalay Bafanav Mamish Vamesu. According to the one that says Bafanav means literally in front of him, and Shalom Bafanav means literally not in front of him. So none of the Navi weren't mamish in front of Moshe. Moshe wasn't there. Moshe wasn't in the Beis HaMikdash. Was in the Mishkan. Right? So that's part one is asking on the first understanding of Rava. If Rava is Bafanav Mamish, and Shalom Bafanav means right outside, so it's Akasha, because Nadav and Aviyu were right outside, and they were killed. And according to the other interpretation of Rava, that Bafanav means in the area, Shalom Bafanav means far away, then you have the Kasha from the Talmud Echad. So that's how both parts, Menachem, of the Gemara, relate to the two understandings of Rava. Number one. Number two. Tosfos in Yuma discusses, Tosfos in Yuma tells us that really there were a bunch of, right, the Gemara here says, Mor Halacha Befei Rabba was the Avera. We know from Rashi, quotes a few of them. Tosfos in Yuma Nun Gimel quotes a Torah's Kohanim that lists about six Averos, possibilities of what Nadav and Aviyu did. Right, some say, the Ika plucked it to Tanai Tuva. Why were they punished? Some say that because they said, when are these two elder people, Moshe and I, are going to die, we're going to take over. Some say that it's because they were Pure Rosh. Some say they were drunk. Some say they were Bechusri Begadim. All the different, but some say they never got married. And our Gemara says that Lo Mesu Ad Shahor Halacha Bifnei Rabo. So what does that Lashon mean? So says the Ben Yoyodo again says that maybe the Peshad is that all these Averis, they would have, it's an Avera, but they would have still had Schus Avos. They would have had the Schus of the connection of their family. But once they were Mor Halacha Bifnei Rabo, Ad! That was the final step. That was the final stage. Ad Mor Halacha Bifnei Rabo, and because of that, that was the final nail in the coffin. The Netziv in his commentary, Al Torah, said by many Mefarshim, point out that that, fine, these are all pshatim. What does the Torah say? The Torah says Eish Zara. So the Torah says Eish Zara, you know, so what does that mean? And why did Chazal darshan all of these things? And I heard this from Rabbi Rav Rosenzweig also, he said it in a different context, but the Netziv here says something that he says many times on the Torah, and the Beis HaLevi says this, Abashki Sisa, explaining the Egel. This is the problem of religious subjectivism. People who have a tremendous fire, tremendous rutzim to be spiritual, to be close to Hashem. You know, but you have to go through the proper channels. The Torah tells you how to get close to Hashem. If you think you get close to Hashem by studying the Kabbalah or doing something else, that's not going to bring you close to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Netziv, B'yimei Moshe ha'yukitos b'Yisrael shahayu lahutim achar avas Hashem ava lo al yidei gvulim shehigbila Torah. That's Eish Zara. Azar means a strange fire inside of them. They felt that drinking, what does it mean, shtuya yayin? Because they wanted to get drunk, because they felt that if they drink and they're happy, they'll be able to do the avoda better. They felt that if they don't wear the clothes, a lot of these pshatim can be explained based on this general idea, that they wanted to get close to HaKadosh, they were l'shem shamayim. But they went out of the framework of halacha. And that's what he says. Ela osa yitzahara haver mi libchem shegamze at shuka avagal shula hasik avas Hashem bekdusha mikamaka emo haye bederek shala ratzon yisvarach einu el derek yitzahara. Right. So whenever we want to get close to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, whenever we think we're doing something proper, we always have to make sure it's following halacha and it's following the poskim. If we think that something is bringing us closer to Hashem, but all of our rabbeim say it's not and it's wrong, then we gotta rethink it, because that's probably our yitzahara having an eish zara in us. It's an eish. It's a fire. But it's an Eish Zara. So we got to make sure that whenever we pick up a certain behavior or believe in a certain ethic, you know, that's something that the poskim say is okay. And that's what the Beis HaLevi says all about the Egel. That's if you look in the Egel, Parsh Kisisa, in the Beis HaLevi said that that's why it repeats so much in Vayakob Akute, Kashir Tziv Hashem Esmoshe, Kashir Tziv Hashem Esmoshe, etc. Because Bnei Yisrael wanted to get close to Hashem, but they did it out of the realm of halacha. They wanted to create their own connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Well, we know that the Mishkan, every to the detail, that was their tshuva. Kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe, they followed to the nut and the bolt exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them to do. That's how to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, following halacha. One more machlokas we've shown him here on this Gemara. So it says that they brought an Eish Zara, and what was their drasha? Even though a fire comes down from heaven, still it's a mitzvah to bring their own fire. So Tosfos points out a problem here. Tosfos in Mai. Tosfos says, Ktores is brought on the Mizbeach HaPnimi. We know there were two Mizbechos in the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash. The outer Mizbeach, where all the animals were shechted on, the Mizbeach HaChitzon, and the little Mizbeach in the Heichal had the Mizbeach and the Menorah and the Shulchan, the three special Kalim. So the Mizbeach HaPnimi, or the Mizbeach HaKtores, is in there. That's where Ktores was burned every day. So what did they do? They said that even though a fire comes down from heaven, we want to bring it on the Mizbeach anyway. One second, fire came down from heaven on the outer Mizbeach. Ketores is burned on the inner Mizbeach. What's going on here? Right, so it doesn't work. Like they're not dealing with the same Mizbeach that they're making the drush on. So Tosfos says, L'chor mashma, second Tosfos, Sh'ketores shekdira Mizbeach hachitzon haya. It must have been that they brought the ketores on Mizbeach hachitzon. Right, because that's their whole svara. But Tosis ends off that the pashtus is that Ktoros is only brought inside. So Bitsarach Ian. Tosis ends off with Tosis like an Achron here. He asks the Kashan, he says, Bitsarach Ian, doesn't answer his question. The Ravid here quoted in the Rashba says, no, they brought it on the Mizbeach HaPnimi. But their svara was just like on the outer Mizbeach, even though a fire comes down from Shemayim, there's a mitzvah to bring your own fire. There are a couple of fires on the Mizbeach HaChitzon. So too, by the Ketores, you know, they stretch the Svara. So too, we're going to bring our own fire, even though the fire from the Ketores was usually lit from the Ma'arach on the Mizbeach, so too we'll bring our own fire. So they stretch it. So it's interesting. A machlokes rishonim between Tosfos and the Ravid, where did Nadav and Avihu burn their Ketores? On the Mizbeach HaChitzon or the Mizbeach HaKtores? Right here. Erev and Sama Gimel, where did they commit their crime? Okay, let's continue. Oh, another important ha'ara, and this is a shas ha'ara. This is one to quote, and got to remember. So what is the Gemara the end saying? So to show that it's not a mashal, it gives details. It gives the details of the name, gives details exactly what he usually was, says the Ben Yehoyada, haraya, that many other stories in the Talmud, that people say, oh, what kind of crazy story is this? Those are all mashal and melitza. The fact that here the Gemara goes out of its way to say, oh, details, to show you it's not a mashal. So says the Ben Yehoyada, Ra'isi dibikan mevien hochacha gedola v'raya atzuma shekol masios and his current betalmid lo ivia melach derech mashal v'chida. This isn't even such a crazy story. What's so hard to understand about this? He paskins, he died. So this isn't even such a hard one. It's not, we're not talking about like rivers flowing upstream and trees getting ripped out. Right? Ain't there a peli? V'chutzrach lomer shmok, it's shalot omer mashal zeh. V'yabi kol shekein v'kal v'chomer l'masios ha'nifloim u'tmuim. And he says, this will close the mouth of the Dovrei Sheker, ha-mal-igim al-divrei chazal, b'dvarim shenira pshutin, zar ma'od, v'ochacha gedoli ish bikan, v'hudavar nachon v'yatsivu bar. That's a Ben Yoyaza to take home. Right? So don't take everything literally. Again, there's a message why it's written in a certain way. We got to know that not everything in the Gemara is meant to be taken literally. Okay, we continue. According to the Moshe, Moshe wasn't in the Panimi. I mean, again, that's what the Ben Yehuda pointed out, that they weren't mamish in front of Moshe. Moshe wasn't there, they were just in the area of Moshe. Anybody who paskins in front of his Rebbe, it's fit that a snake bite him. Shneemar, as it says in Eov, one of Eov's friends, all the way at the end of Eov. Vayan Elihu ben Barach El Habuzi Vayomer, and he said, "Sa'irani." This is Elihu, who finally, I think, was said things that Eov accepted somewhat. His other friends, Eliphaz, and the other friends, he rejected everything they said. But finally, Elihu says, "He says, Sa'irani liyamim. I'm very young. V'chulu akezachalti, and because of that, I fear." And I'm scared to say anything because he was young. So this is a mocker that is talking to. He doesn't want to paskin. And the word zochalti v'ksiv is connected to the pasuk in Dvarim. Am chamas zochalei afar. So he sees zochalei as a reference to snakes. So that's how you know he was scared of zochalti. So that's a connection about getting bitten by a snake. He didn't want to get bitten by a snake, so he didn't want to paskin. Ziri amar Rabbi Chanina nikra chote. He's also called a sinner if he paskins b'fei rabo. The Mufarshim point out, what is this adding? Right, if you're gonna get bitten by a snake and you're chayav misa lachora, you're a chote. But the Gemara first will talk about it. Shneemar bilibi tzafanti imrasecha. David Melach says, in my heart I have hid what I wanted to say. Laman lo echta lacha, so that I don't fear to you. So that's David Melach. So Rav Huna points out, Rami asks a stira. Ksiv bilibi tzafanti imrasecha. One part of David Melach says, I've hid what I wanted to say. Viksiv bisarti b'tzedek b'kal rab. I announced everything in a great multitude. So was David HaMelech quiet or not? So the Gemara answers, it depends if his Rebbe was there or not. Lo kasha, kam bezman she'ira haya'iri kayam, kam bezman she'in ira haya'iri kayam. Depends if ira haya'iri, who Rashi points out was his Rebbe, right? That depends. So when his Rebbe was there, he didn't. When his Rebbe was not there, then he did. Amar of Abba Bar Zavda. So we just had a statement in the name of this Rebbe. So we have this one. This doesn't have to do with anything here. Ko hanosein matznosav lekohen echad, maybe ra'av la'olam. If somebody gives his matnas kahuna, no, you're a 24 matnas kahuna. Let's say you give your truma and your bechor and your challah and all your wonderful gifts and your zroah l'chayim and the keva and the chazi and the shok, right? All your different presents for the kohen, you give it to the same kohen. Maybe ra'av la'olam. You bring famine to the world. Shneemar. Ira hayyiri, and it's based on this because this is the connection to the Gemara. Shemar ira yira hayy kohen lo David, and it says ira yiri was the kohen for David. So he asked the Gemara, lo David, who David kohen lo kuli amalo? He was only a kohen for David and not for anybody else. Elash hayy meshagel amatanosav. No, but David Melach sent him everything. Vixiv, and it says right after that, basrei byhi rav he made David. That's the hemshach that there was a rav because he gave everything to him. So what's so wrong with this? What's wrong with giving it to one Kohen? So Rabbi Yehonah's son in the back says that, no, because you're kind of stealing from other Kohenim. Right? If you give everything to one Kohen, even though it's mamush ein lo tovim, it's not like any Kohen has a specific connection to this property, but still, it's like if you give everything to one Kohen, then all the other Kohenim, then the Rabbi Yehonah's son even says, like, people are going to think he's a chash of Kohen, so they're going to give to him also, so other Kohenim aren't going to be able to get. That's what Rabbi Yehonah's son says. The Meiri here has a different lush. The Meiri says, no, it's because you are supposed to learn to have Rachmanis on everybody. Not supposed to just have Rachmanis and give to one person, but you're supposed to have Rachmanis on everybody. You're supposed to give to a lot of different people. And this fits in with the beautiful Rambam, which we all know this Rambam, but to know where this is and to know to quote it sometimes, the Rambam in Pirshei Mishnayos in In Avos, the parak in Avos in Parak Gimel, it says Hakol Safui Vaharushus Nesuna. Everything is hidden, meaning Hashem has it, and Vaharushus Nesuna, and you have Bechira Uvetov HaOlam Nidon Vahakol Lefi Rov HaMaisa. Everything is according to Rov HaMaisa. Says the Rambam. The Rambam says Ein Amidos HaTovos Niknin Al Pi Godel HaMaisa El Beribui Mispar HaMaisim. You become a good person, says the Rambam, not by the quality of your actions, but by the quantity. You do an unbelievable action? No. It's better to do 100 smaller, great actions. Let's say you get your midos. It says the Rambam, the mashal. If you have $1,000, it's better to give 100 people $10 than 10 people $100. Because the more mice and tovin that one does, says the Rambam, that affects you, and the Nisora HaNefesh, Nisora is Gedola, and therefore that's going to affect you. You're going to do the same mitzvah. But says the Rambam, you're going to give $100? No, it's better to give $10 to 100 people, because those mice and tovin will be margul your Nefesh to become that type of person. So says the Meiri on this Gemara, that's the shot of this line. Giving all your Matnas Guna to the same Kohen. It's not the same. Give it to a number of Kohanim. Okay. The Rishash though points out that the Rambam does not quote this halacha in Mishnah Torah. Specifically by Kohen, he thinks, because you find a number of places in Shas, like more in Gittin and elsewhere, a concept called Makirei Kahuna. If you usually give to a Kohen, then he kind of has a quasi-kinyan in that. So it could be that the Rambam thinks that at least le'inyin zeh, le'inyin kahanim, this halacha doesn't apply. So he doesn't quote this in Mishnah Torah. Even though he holds up the idea in general of staka. But that is it's not quoted in the Rambam. It is quoted in Shulchan Aruch that you're not supposed to give all your tzedakah to the same person. That's why Hilchos Truma is right, as you see the Osches it's in Yeridei and Reish Nun Zion. It is quoted that you shouldn't give your tzedakah all to one person. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, five lines to the bottom. So we're back to Mora Halacha Bifnei Rabba. So Rabbi Eliezer says Moridin Oso Migdulasa. If you pass it in front of your Rebbe, they bring you down from your gedula. Shnei Amarz, it says by Elazar, the son of Aaron, V'yomer Elazar Kohen Anashi Atzava, the Parshas Matos, where the army came back, and Elazar Kohen said to them, all the halachos, if you remember, of Hagalas Kalim, because they brought all these Kalim back from Midian, and told them all the halachos of Hagalas Kalim. So he said it. So says the Gemara, Apagav da Amri Lahula Achi Abad Siva, even though when he told them, he says, my father's brother was told all of this, Vosilo Siva, and I didn't really get the command, so he admitted that he was only a Talmud, Afilu Hachi Yanish, he was still punished. Dechsiv Lefnei Elazar HaKohen Yamod, because what was his punishment? Moshe Rabbeinu said that in the future, Yoshua Ben Nun will stand and ask you questions, Elazar, Velo Ashkan Disrechel Yoshua, and you don't find that Yoshua Ben Nun ever needed him. So you see that he was punished for asking in front of his Rebbe. The problem is, if you remember Rashi in that Parsha, Parsha's Matos gives a different reason why Elazar is the one that said this. You ever remember that Rashi? Rashi quotes, and the Marsha here points out that it's a Medrash, that the Medrash says that Moshe Rabbeinu got angry, and that's why he forgot these halachas. Nis'alma menu halacha, that's why Elazar did it. So what do you mean he's punished? Nis'alma menu halacha, that's why Rashi quotes. So the Marsha here says, no, that even though Moshe Rabbeinu forgot, for the moment, Elazar should have still waited. He should have waited until Nisyash V'daito, and in that way, Moshe still could have paskened. Again, that's when the Gemara says, ka'as, bale shechva, it's not just a punishment, but it's just that when one is angry, one can't think straight. And therefore you can't even pashut things. It always happens. When we're angry, we do things that are irrational. So, but again, that's a separate topic, a ka'as topic. But that's what happened. But the Marsha says, even according to that medrash, it fits in. Amar Rabbi Levi, called a Mosev Mila Kami Rabbe, anybody who says anything in front of their Rebbe, Mosev Mila, Rashi says, it means you paskin. Ozil L'Sh'ol below Vlad. Oi. Right, he goes to the grave, Ozil L'Sh'ol below Vlad, without having children. Shenamar, as it says, Vayan Yoshua ben Nun Misharis Moshe Mibachurav, Vayomer Adoni Moshe Klaim. Yeshua ben Nun, when Eldad and Medad were being misnabin Mamachane, Yeshua ben Nun heard what they said and he said, Moshe, Klaim, kill them, they deserve to die. So that was a shemetz of paskin in front of, right, that was a halachic psak. They deserve to die. Even though it was out for his kavod, as we'll talk about in a second. Viksiv, and what does it say in Divrei HaYamim when it's listing all the generations? Nun b'no, Yoshua b'no, and it does not list any children to Yoshua b'nun. So it says the Gemara, Yoshua b'nun was not zocha to have children because he paskened b'fnei Rabbo. Okay, so that's a very stark and sharp sharp punishment, but even more of a problem that Yoshua b'nun was out with Shem Moshe's kavod here. That's even more problematic. So how is it more halacha b'fnei Rabbo? Oh, so for this, I want to mention, yeah? What about Yishuv Lachatzis? You're right, because one Avera, what about the rest of it? He wasn't Zochet. So again, some of these Chazals are problematic to understand. He was Tzadik Yisod Olam, Yeshua Ben Nun. He was the Manig Adar. Because of this one little act, he wasn't Zochet to have children. There must be more to this, obviously. But just one message that I wanted to say over, which is relates to what we started the whole shiur with. And that is to answer this question. Rav Chaim Shmuel Levis asked this question. I didn't know he asked it until yesterday. Baruch Hashem, I'm very excited that I found this. And that is, you know, he asked the question, how could Yeshua Ben Nun, he was after Moshe's coven. Let's throw in the other question about Rashi at the beginning of the shiur. Bi'etav akutcha. Rashi says, even a dover pashit ma'od, an egg and milk. Tosa said it can't be that. Can't be. No, Rashi says, no, there's an issue of Mar Alach B'Fnei Rabba there too. What's the time for Mar Alach B'Fnei Rabba? What's the time for the Isser? So the pashtus reason is that what? Chutzpah. Chutzpah, you know, you're pasuk in front of your Rebbe. It's not coming to Derech Eretz to pasuk in front of your Rebbe. But I thought that maybe there could be another pshat, and a number of makoros fit into this, and that is, even without the chutzpah aspect, it's a din in the Mesorah. It's a din in that if your Rebbe is there, mitzad the Mesorah, there's an achrayis to go to the closest source to Har Sinai. There's an achrayis, mitzad kavod haMesorah, not kavod haRebbe. Mitzad kavod haMesorah, you have to go to the source, even if it's not chutzpahdik for you to answer the question. And that's why, even according to Rashi, even a davar pashut. It's not chutzpahdik for the Rebbe. No, but it's a davar pashut, but still it's covered for the Mesorah. You have to go back to the original, the one who taught you. The one who taught you, the Mesorah, the Baal HaMesorah in this generation. Says Rav Chaim Shmuel Levis, it's a very, very similar idea to explain this. Yeshua ben Nun means it wasn't chutzpahdik to Moshe Rabbeinu. It was after Moshe Rabbeinu's covered. But look, he says, She'enu mishim kavod, this is in Tavshin Lamed Beis, Maimer Lamed Hei, Mesichas Musar. Says the Rav, it's not because of covered Rebbe. Elos Yehu Mevatel Mailas HaZakenim, She'yesh L'Klal Yisrael. She'davka al yedei Shehana'arim Nishmoyim L'Zakenim, Nechshav L'Klal Yisrael Zakenim. He says, other nations don't have Zakenim. You say what you want. But Mar Alach B'Fnei Rabbo, Ibdu Klal Yisrael HaZakenim. Ulachain Ein L'Rav Limcho. A Rav shouldn't be Mochel on his covet. Because it's a din in the Mesorah. Din in the Mesorah, that's why it's even a Dara Pashit. Maybe that's the Rabbah also. It's worse to set up a yeshiva than just to give a psak. Why? Giving a psak is also against covet of your Rebbe. So again, that is all fits into that second way of looking at the Isser of covet Rabbo. And maybe that's the Sezer of Chai Shavu Levitz. That was Yeshua's problem here. Upliga! Right during the Gemara, Upliga, the Rabbi Avraham Papa. This view that Yeshua ben Nun was punished because he didn't have children, because he passed in front of his rabbi, he's against Rabbi Abba, who says there was a different Avera of Yehoshua. Remember, we're talking about Gdoli Olam here, we're talking about Yeshua ben Nun. But at least, the Gemara can talk about which Avera of Yeshua ben Nun's, right? The Gemara can't talk that about us. You know, which century, you know, which decade of Averis? You know, at least then you can talk about which Averis specifically. Upliga Rabbi Abba Bar Papa, Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Papa. Why was he punished? Because he was Mevatel B'nei Yisrael from Pruravu one night. Again, we're not going to have time to talk about it, but this is relates to the issue that we've touched on before, that it's the Hilchas Nida specifically, a post that goes out of his way, bends over backwards to try to be Mekel. Right, as the Gemara says in Brachos, David HaMelech, L'Tahari Shalabayla. Tahari Shalabayla, because again, this is because the significance of having a husband and a wife together even one night. So Moshe, Yeshua ben Nun was punished because he was Mevatel ben Yisrael one night of Puravu. Shenamar, where do you see that from? The end of Perakei and Yeshua. About four or five psukim, which we're going to read from tomorrow, the first thing, because there's an amazing Malbim on those psukim. How do you understand Pshat on the psukim? Very unusual psukim. What happens? They're about to attack Yericho. Yeshua ben Nun goes outside of Yericho. He sees a Malach Hashem. And Yeshua says, "Lanu atam l'sareinu, are you one of us or are you one of the enemy?" And the Malach Hashem says, "Take off your shoes." He takes off his shoes, end of the parak. Nothing was said, nothing happens. What's that whole episode about? So we'll talk about the Malbim Ezra tomorrow. But in that story, so the Chazal, because it's such a oblique, or you don't know what's going on, they have all these drushes about what... What's going on? So Shemar Vayibios Yeshua Yericho Vayisein Avayar. Yeshua was in Yericho. By the way, we used this pasuk earlier to prove Ibura Shel Ear is like the ear because it says he was in Yericho. What do you mean Yericho had a wall around it? No, he was in the Ibur of Yericho. Ibura Shel Ear Vayisein Avayar, and he lifted up his eyes and he saw the Malach Hashem. Viksiv Vayomarki Ani Asar Tzva Hashem Atobasi. The Malach Hashem answered him, "I am a Malach Hashem. Now I came." That's all he is said to him. So the Chazal Darshan now from the word Atobasi. Amar Lo says the Malach Hashem to him. Says the conversation goes that there were two things that Yeshua ben Nun did wrong.
It was the night before battle, but he shouldn't have taken them to surround Yericho yet, it seems. Even though he got the tzivui, he should have stayed home, he should have learned with them, he was mevatel Torah because they were all surrounding the city, and also he didn't bring the Tamashar ben Arbaim yesterday. So which Avira is what is the one that he's being taken to task for? Armalo atabasi, I came to the Avira now, meaning the Bitzel Torah. Miyad, that's why, vayelach Yeshua balei lahu bitoch emek, Yeshua ben Nun then went into the valley, and we darshan from there. Emek shalom Rabbi Yochanan Lamed shalach ba'omka shel halacha. He went in Emek from the, he went to the depths of a halacha. He had a shear and he had an Ian shear. He made them learn. That's Emek. By the way, Tosas points out that this pasuk is a few prakim later. It's not that it happened right away. This is by Ai, this pasuk. And the first story was by Yericho. Ai was the second city that they conquered. The Chazal put them together. The Gemiri, and we have a Misora. And we have a Misora that whenever the Aron and the Shechina are not, the Mishkan isn't set up as it normally is, but Israel are Asur Batash Shamita, and therefore here, what do you see? The Aron and the Shechina were not in this place. The Aron was going to be used in the march around Yericho. So it wasn't set up. They were all around the walls. So that's why, if that was out, it must be that they were also with Ashur Shemitah. So that's the first this opinion of Abba Bar Papa, that that's what Yeshua was taking the task for. And the Marsha points out is Mida Keneged Mida, because he didn't allow the families to be together. So he was Mavatlan for Puravu, so therefore he wasn't Zocha to fulfill the mitzvah of Puravu, says the Marsha. It's Mida Keneged Mida. Again, there's a Malbim, which Rav Shem will mention tomorrow on the Pashup Shot. We'll start with it. So everybody come on time. Let's just continue a few more lines. Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Inya, or Avya, Mishvei Derav. Greater is Talmud Torah, greater than Akravas Tamidim. Because he says, now I came, right? We just said, which is the worst Aveira? Not bringing the carpet Talmud or learning. And he said, I came for this Aveira. I came for the Bitzel Torah. Amar Abruna Amarav. Kol Hayashain. Bekila Sheish Vishto Shruyin Ba. Allah HaKasav Omer. Anybody who sleeps in the same room as a man and a woman, or in the same area. In other words, they can't have private space. Alav HaKasav Omer, about that person it is said, Neshe Amita Garshun Mi Beis Tanugeha. You are pushing out the women of my nation from the house of their enjoyment. In other words, you're not supposed to be in the same room as Ish Ve'isha. V'amar Rav Yosef. So the simple understanding is because you're preventing them from being together. But V'amar Rav Yosef, Afilo Bishto Nida. Even if they're not going to be together tonight, even Bishto Nida, why? So Rabbi Yehonah's son says, the Marsha says, his Shrata, that he says, oh, then I saw it in the Rabbi Yehonah's son. Beautiful. No. When it comes to a husband and wife, it's not just about, you know, Shalom Bishas Nida. Even Bishas Nidasa, to spend time together, Divrei Tznius, to have private time to talk. Right? I mentioned before that Rav Shachter points out that the Chiv of a husband to a wife is called Ona. What's Ona? Ona means time. Time means all the times of the month. Right, Bain Bashi's Anida, when she's not, maybe even when she's Anida, she needs even more time. Bashatida Shalom Bashatida, the husband and the wife have to spend time together. Or it's not that way, the 2 weeks out of the month and then the relationship is cut off. No. As we say in the brachas of Sheva Brachas, we say Samech the Samach, Reim Ha'ahuvim. Sometimes of the month, half the month you're a Reim, you're friends. Other times you're Ahuvim. Right, so half the month you're Reim, half the month you're Ahuvim, but the relationship continues every day of the month. So it says here, even Bishto Nida, says Rav Yosef, unbelievable, Mr. Haskell. For Rav Amar, no, Bishto Nida, he tabal bracha. Rav has a different approach. He says, no, Bishto Nida, you know, tabal bracha because you're giving them a siyag. The Gemara doesn't accept him. V'lohi da'adu idem, anashrei. What do you mean? What up until tonight when she was Anida, who guarded them? Right, obviously they have self control. They know pas basalo. That's they had their husband and wife have the heter yichud. That's why there are all these harchakos. That's why the Aruch HaShulchan writes at the beginning of the Siman about harchakos that the reason that there are so many harchakos is because they have a heter yichud. So you have to balance it out. But either way, this is the end of the sugya of Pasuk in front of your Rebbe. We're going to get back to Hilchos Erevin. There's two ha'aretz, which we're going to talk about tomorrow. Remind me the Malbim, and remind me halacha lemaisa. There are posts going to talk about whether all these halachas apply b'zman hazeh in today's day and age where we learn a lot from Svarim. We don't learn as much from one Rebbe. So do all these halachas, Amar Alav B'fnei Rabbo, do they apply b'zman hazeh? Okay, we'll have those two ha'aretz, and then we'll go weiter, which is getting back to Hilchos Erevin. Yeshiva Zeichen Ishmas. Yosef and Yisrael Nechemia. Yosef and Yisrael Nechemia. Shkoy. Tavolah bracha.
Thank you for listening to Rabbi Shalom Rosner's Daf Yomi Shir, given daily at Congregation Beis Ephraim Yitzchak. If you have any questions or comments about the Daf Yomi program, or if you'd like to become a sponsor, please visit our website at cbey.org, or contact us directly at mmaltz@gmail.com. Weekly sponsorship opportunities are available, and are a wonderful schus for Refuah Shleima or Zecher Nishmas.